Welcome back. Talking with author, researcher, investigator, and world-wise gentleman, Preston Dennett, and our special guest, Dolly, who is the subject of Preston's newest book called Symmetry. And you should be able to get right to it. It's on Amazon. You can find it easy. Dennett is spelled D-E-N-N-E-T-T, Preston Dennett, and it's quite a book. We covered a lot of ground last week during the hour that they were on. I asked them to come back tonight because there was so much there. And get the book. We're not touching even one-fifth of it. Dolly was taught how to fly an E.T. craft. She is a flyer. I won't call her a pilot. She's a flyer. These craft are built specifically to match their primary pilot. We'll call them that. Dolly was trained to fly one as well. So when, Dolly, you fly a ship, you're actually flying somebody else, too, to a degree, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. E.T. Craft are indwelt by a higher density, non-corporeal, interdimensional being who can actually indwell the craft and fit into the systems that are on board and become the craft itself.
Right.
And basically the technology is so great that it takes a mind consciousness to run it. It's too complicated. And so that's how they fly them.
Are they all the same, Dolly? Are all the ET craft, or does it depend on the civilization that happens to be visiting us?
They're different types and styles. They build new ones all the time. It has more to do with functionality and purpose. And so, yes.
And these different groups, we
do them all the time.
These different groups are... Are the different ET groups are at various positions on, just for our primitive human mind, a linear timeline of existence. Some are more advanced than others, and yet I have a sneaking suspicion when they get to a certain threshold, they kind of flop over and they're all in the same pot together, so to speak.
We are all related. We're all part of the same place in source. We all move out into the physical realm, and yes, there's many different expressions of life for that reason in different places in the universe.
Okay.
All ET cooperate with one another. In other words, they've reached a level of maturity and scientific ability to where it is the language that they speak is universal with one another. There is no delineation of non-understanding for one another. They understand each other perfectly, and they cooperate and work together perfectly.
They never fight? They don't get angry?
No. No.
Interesting.
No, when you are that wide open psychic, you hear at all levels of consciousness, and it's literally impossible to lie to one another. And so if there is any chance of there being a problem, it's literally already known and it's worked out. They have maturity levels that are so great that the cooperative essence of their existence is automatic. Mm-hmm. They automatically work together to clear anything that they need to.
So. I like that. That's nice. That's very good. Now, you've mentioned several times the word source. So let's just go for the big one right now. Who's calling the shots? Who designed this? Who's laying out the plans? Who's number one, or what is number one? And is it universally applicable, galactically applicable? Are there a lot of different consciousness power centers around the universe, or is it ultimately just one? What do you think about all that? There's a lot of stuff to throw at you, but give it a shot.
okay. E.T. does not believe in a deity like people here do, but they do believe in, they call it the all mind. The universe is a conscious entity itself, and it exists, and it's constantly on thinking. We are all part of that. We are its children. It is the ultimate, if you want to call it authority, in that it supports, regulates, holds us all up, teaches us. It's everything.
And, do we call it source? Do we call it source? The
yes.
All mind. Okay.
Yes. And we all exist. Our energy is all part of that. We are all one and the same with it. We exist together in source it with the all mind. You're in a physical realm right now, in a dimensional world, a 3D dimensional world.
Uh-huh.
And so you're kind of a little bit not aware in this particular paradigm of the total picture, the total story.
Well, it'd be overwhelming, wouldn't it? I would think, for most people.
No. See, that's the funny thing. You're taught not to. You're taught not to connect to it.
Oh, fear.
So it's really,
fear-based
difficult.
Conditioning.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Right. Even the religion here teaches you to fear it. And to call
yes.
God is not a deity with a big stick who says, if you don't do it my way, it's the highway. You know, that isn't how the universe works.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been misrepresented that way. And
okay.
Source is everything. We are all
the
part
mind.
Of the same source. Yes.
I like that. All right.
Yeah, I think
now,
the Native Americans got it very close. The spirit which moves through all things is how they put it. And
I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. The Native Americans, remember, do believe that they're directly related to ETs. And that is a message that many contactees have told me. We are you, you are us, we are one. And to hear Dolly say it, I'm like, oh, I'm hearing it again.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, the spirit which comes through all things, the all mind.
In the book, Symmetry, which I hope a lot of you will get and read, you'll get another, a better glimpse into this whole remarkable story that we're covering tonight. And I think that the other aspect, and I want to go back, that you mentioned earlier, Preston mentioned it tonight, I think maybe you mentioned it last Thursday, but you were in an automobile crash, and you were healed. And this is heading toward the ultimate question, of course, but tell us about this crash, would you, briefly, and what happened to you?
Actually, it's not me. I'm not
that
the one in the crash.
Georgia lady.
What's that?
I got confused for a second.
Oh, it's not Dolly. Okay. All right, Dolly. Well, let me just
prevented from having a car accident.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough. Let me jump to the punchline here. Do we die? And how would you define death? All right, good. I got both pieces out there. Have at it.
There is no death. Death is a fallacy. It's a lie.
It's a fear construct.
Constantly.
It's a fear
right.
construct.
Right.
Yep.
Right. You're wearing a spacesuit right now. You're in a physical realm where your consciousness has come to exist, and your body is your car. It's you indwell this body so that you can exist here. You are constantly alive. You will never die. You are eternal. The entire universe is eternal. It never stops. It constantly recycles itself. It is on 24/7. There is no death. The fact that you fear it is one of the ways that you're controlled. Your body is here. People are taught that their body's more important than anything. And yes, it's good to have a healthy body and to use it and utilize it for what it's for, but it's something you jump out of. You walk away from it, and the energy that exists that created your body follows you back into source. It goes with you. Your body decays, and the energy that was your body is the prana of it, if you want to call it prana, goes with you. You take it with you.
But it stays in a cohesive, it stays, your energy stays in a cohesive state. It's you.
Correct.
Yes, you
absolutely.
Own that energy, so to speak. Okay.
You are it, yes. Correct.
Got it. All right. Okay. So,
Preston's really good about explaining this one. I'm going to give him an introduction into it, and I'm going to let him go with it.
One other.
He knows how to OBE.
Oh, he does?
And one of the things that ET is encouraging is to teach us to learn how to use our psychic abilities and to learn what we are existing of, who we really are. And one way to do that is to learn to use your psychic ability and to learn to escape the physical realm that you're in this body, and to go outside of it and see what's really going on. And OBE, out of body, is one way to do that. Humans are fascinated with NDEs and things like that, and they just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, the light. We see the light. It is so blinding, but it doesn't hurt.
Right.
It's this white light. I've seen it.
Right.
I've been in it, and it's real. Real as I can perceive it. Of course, perception changes.
You can learn to walk into it without dying physically. You can walk out of your body while you're here and go visit. And take it away, Preston.
Okay, Preston, you've been holding on to me. I didn't know you had this ability. How did you learn it?
It started happening the same time I found out UFOs were real, actually. What sort of inspired me was the passing of my mother. In 1984, I was quite young, 19, and I wanted to know if there was life after death. And, of course, reading about it wasn't enough, and I heard that people could actually go out of body. And so I started checking out the literature on this. Robert Monroe, you may have heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up his book, and he gave exercises on how to do it. So I thought, hey, let's give it a try. And started doing the meditations and the relaxation exercises and visualizations, and it took me about not quite 2 months of really doing this, meditating every night, before I had my first OBE, and that's all it took. I knew right off the bat, okay, we are eternal beings. We can go out of our body, we can travel across the planet to, you know, wherever, and to the other side. And I got really interested in it. And kept doing it. I did put out a book on this. Going to put out another at some point soon. And death is absolutely a lie. It does not exist. It's much more like walking through a door or moving to Hawaii. I mean, the other side is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's the real world. Astral projection is a misnomer because we're not really astral projecting. What we are, like Dolly said, is we're projecting down from source to here. That's the projection.
Mm-hmm.
So an OBE is much more like returning home.
Understood. When I went into the light, I can only tell you, and I hope this makes sense, I have never felt, it was indescribable, bliss, happiness, peace, excitement, and the theme I had was I was going home, and nothing here mattered. It was inconsequential beyond words. I was going home. And does that make sense, Dolly, in your experience with this concept?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly where we live. It is home. We are strangers in a strange land here. I've heard that said before. It's very, very true.
Yeah.
This is a temporary place. We're only visiting. It's
why are we visiting?
Ride and
why are we here? What's the deal? Why go through all this crap? What's the lesson? Like we can't learn it another way, another dimension?
In Source, we all have all the information. We all know the truth about everything. There's nothing we can't know. But when we come into a physical world, a realm, we can learn to put this experience into a physical attachment to us in our consciousness.
Right.
In other words, we employ the knowledge. don't employ it in source. We do employ it here. And then we wear it because we own it. It becomes part of us. And we build up. We actually build the better us as we do this. This is the reason we exist in this realm, why we come here. This is what karma is about. We learn our lessons, and we take what we learn, and we wear it, and we move on. And we go to higher and better things. You can choose not to, but it's more fun to choose to do so and
okay.
move forward.
Yeah. What about the dark ones? And there are evil people here who are evil beyond competent description. They're just evil.
Yes.
They kill. They do things that are unspeakable. What about them? Where do they go? Are they the same?
The lower realms. Yeah, we're all the same.
But they go to lower realms.
Right. They can't exist in the higher realms because their vibrational ability is non-existent. It's too low.
They don't have it.
And so they exist in a very dark place. Now, you can eventually shake that off and change and bring yourself out of it. I don't know how long it takes for some people. I think we're all different with that. But, yeah, you can escape that eventually. You can learn from it. Some people choose to learn the dark side before they choose to go into the light. It's all part of the universe. There's absolute balance in everything. There's yin and yang. There's positive and negative. You can't have one literally without the other. We coexist. How you affect others, though, you will exercise the lessons from it. If you do something that negative, that bad, and you hurt people or you do bad things, it will impede you. I'm not sure about this, and I'm going to state this as my personal opinion that I'm about to state right now. I'll make it very clear. I am of the opinion that you can take yourself so low that you knock yourself out. In other words, you can give up existence completely. You can erase yourself. I haven't personally seen it happen, but it feels sometimes where I've been in the presence of that actually going on. And it's quite a shock to me that it can happen. But that's how the universe recycles energy. We have examples of that in the universe itself. Not all energy stays the same. It mutates it. It evolves, it reorganizes itself, and it becomes something else. And I think that there are some consciousnesses that choose to go that route, and they go away, and they dime out and become something else.
Fine
so
with me.
I think, yeah, pretty much. I choose to walk away from that. I don't want to.
No.
I am on a path, and
okay.
I choose the light. I choose the positive. So yeah, I go that way.
Now, all right. Here's another one. You meet somebody, or you're around other people, and you're drawn to some and repelled by others. Some you have a tremendous affinity for without even trying. Others, it's a process. You have to learn. And in the way of all this is sense of self-aggrandizement, greed, all of the things, all of the negatives. So how do we begin to instruct, help, teach, allow people to come along the pathway a little quicker when most people are so overwhelmed with this idea of self? They're not even aware of it. They just don't know. They're not lost souls, but they're certainly on a track in this lifetime that would seem to me to preclude much advancement.
Love heals all things. Literally. You have to love one another, completely love, without reservation, without judgment.
How many people have you met that can do that, Dolly?
Not a lot, but it's done. I've seen it. I've tried to live it myself. I find it difficult at times myself. I'm a little bit of a Valkyrie. But in the end, I keep going back to that because I've seen what it's capable of doing. And I've seen what it's capable of doing even in myself. You know, you learn to love yourself first, and then you love others. And
right.
You remember that love is all things. It's sacrifices for each of us. And you always take care of yourself, make sure that you're, you know, facing the truth, and then you love hard. You keep going. You have to. Because you're planting the seed of it, the seed of positivity, every time you do that. If evil can plant itself around horrifically, so can love. Okay? And we need to employ that more. We have to be brave enough to express that out and do it. Fearlessly do it. Right. And it can change. It can make things happen. It really can. You
do
put
light on
something and it will shine.
Got it. Do we need to learn... I'm going to get to Preston here in just a minute. Do we need to learn to sense our... this is a self-answered question. It's silly, but... we need to learn to identify our surroundings and sense them intuitively, psychically, consciously, superconsciously, subconsciously. Most people don't do any of those things. They walk through life, as I said earlier, they simply react to stimuli. That's their existence. Not a good existence, and not what we were really put here for, I don't think. But when you are tuned into yourself, and unless you do care about yourself, you're no good to anyone else. It just doesn't work. What about teaching people, helping people? Now, Preston taught himself some very big lessons about life and source or all mind, but to get to people who have been so screen addicted to their social media and their cell phones, and things have changed. And Generation Z, for example, I'm not putting anybody down here, but Generation X, Gen X, Gen Z, a lot of millennials, they will never know what we knew this society had as a potential. We had achieved some remarkable things in the 50s and 60s. I'm not saying they were better or worse. They're just different. So there's a constantly growing chasm of knowledge and awareness and maybe commonality between these so-called generations of people, even though they are all the same, and I understand what you're saying. So what would you say about any of that?
Well, the good news is that it is... it is not going to stay the same. Nothing does. And my dad used to tell me, for every action, there is an equal or opposite reaction. That we all face that moment of startling realization, whether it hurts to hear it, see it, or feel it, or you do it right, you know, and it comes as a joy. All of us will walk into that wall. All of us will jump down that rabbit hole. All of us will experience that moment of shock and awe of what's real and what's not. It could come at the last moment. It could come 2 moments before the last moment. It could come years before. It just doesn't matter, actually. It just does matter that we accept the fact that as we do what we need to do, each of us individually, we are doing our very best. You are doing a show where you're promoting truth and you're promoting ideal situations where people are given the opportunity to think and to consider what things really are. And that alone is part of a way to help create a better way for everybody. Every time you plant the seed of knowledge, every time you open your mouth and put it out there, the vibration of it does go forth, and people do hear it. Whether they're conscious of it or not, it is passing through them. Their energy is registering it. They do feel the wave of it, and that's the most important thing, that we create the wave of peace, love, energy, light, all of it. We just have to keep going. Open our mouths, start talking, give each other the process from our own mind, send out the message. It's not that hard to do. And your ability to use your innate abilities amplifies it. The stronger you become psychically and stronger in your ability to influence them and help them hear the truth is paramount. That's the message. Keep going. It will happen. evil has
Very
had
nice.
A long head
yeah.
start on us.
Oh, you know? Yes.
We can do this.
Yeah, yeah. Preston.
Yep, I would just echo that, yeah. I would say people should meditate. This is one thing that's pretty much accepted in all spiritual traditions. Meditate. Release yourself from fear. Recognize that you are a part of this universe and always will be an immortal being. There is no danger. Do not let fear be your motivating force in life, which it is. Every time you make a decision, ask yourself, what is the truth of this? And is this decision made in love? Allow truth and love to guide every action, and we'll be just fine.
Nicely summed up. Let's put a bow on that. It works. It does. All right, Dolly.
And,
go ahead, Preston. You want to finish up? Go ahead.
You know, Betty Andreasen, a very well-known contactee,
yes.
She was told by her gray, Quazga, love, this is a direct quote from a gray, love is the answer for humankind. It sounds simple, it sounds idealistic, but it's true. We really need to just allow love to be our guiding force. It's that simple.
Dolly, in fact, our ability to live this is a tough word to use, a moral, spiritually enlightened life, it has diminished in the last 50, 60, 70 years. It's not what it was. Has it been taken from us? Has it been pried away from us through fear, intimidation, the so-called dumbing down in the school systems, lack of education, lack of intellectual advancement, ultimately, a lack of wisdom. This is not good. This is evil at work, in my opinion. How do you see it?
Yes. It's a little bit of everything. It is a massive bowl of evil soup that we're all dropped in now, and we're all swimming in it. And
right.
The one thing I could tell you about humanity as a whole, we are creatures of habit. We are habitual people. That is how our brains operate. It is how we survive. Without
Routine.
That habitualizing think pattern we have, we wouldn't survive here. So it takes a conscious decision every day, one thing at a time, to turn away from that which is unhealthy, bad for us, and choose to do one good thing a day and habitualize that one good thing and to keep going. Mm-hmm. Until you have built up enough strength to move in bigger moments and circles of your purpose and your ability. So what you can start doing is turn the TV off. Don't watch TV. Leave it alone.
Yeah, you're staring your way into oblivion. Is this what your ET friends, corporeal and otherwise, tell you, the same basic message that we're getting?
Yes, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They don't use TVs. They have the ability to hear the universe talk. They see it. They feel it. It is their joy. And the universe is very chatty. The all mind is always constantly on. You can download from it constantly. It is like candy. You want to know something? Here you go. You know, you just have to be available for it. And that means putting down things that distract you from here. This is a physical realm that you're not going to live in for very long. And the lesson is to learn how to utilize what's at your disposal to experience the universe as it really is, to see it for what it really is. And it's really pretty freaking cool. And
You have to choose. Choose to choose takes strength. And a lack of fear. Fear-based
Correct.
Choices are not the best for you. Do you know who's trying to market this concept? I think you just struck a little bell with me. Elon Musk and his Neuralink to connect you to the cloud so you'll know all things. It's kind of a dime store version of the scenario you just laid out. I think people will be lining up around the block to get implanted with these things when he markets them. But, it's not the real truth. It's an artificial,
correct,
synthetic truth, and it's wrong.
Correct.
But he'll be very successful with it.
He's trying to build consciousness and AI. I'll try to explain this to you. The AI that ET uses, the AI on board ship systems and the small grays and whatever, they are utilized by higher intelligence. Your consciousness is conscious. You can't create a machine that becomes conscious. The AIs and the machines themselves that ET uses aren't dwelt by real consciousness. He is trying to build artificial intelligence and consciousness that will come alive, and I think he thinks it'll have a soul. It will not. It's impossible. It does not exist in real reality at all. And he wants your input. He wants to take you, your soul, and imbibe his machinery with you. He wants to collect you and put
sure
you
does.
In it.
Yep.
And that enslaves you permanently. You would give yourself up to something that would destroy you. And it's ridiculous. And it's not okay.
Okay.
So I totally
all
disagree
right.
with this premise.
You don't need to do it. You can get more powers by just developing your own psychic ability and have knowledge to the entire universe, access to all the knowledge
correct.
Of the universe. You don't need an implant.
Right.
You have a natural ability to already do this.
He, I'm telling you, he's going to sell a million of them if we're still around. Anyhow, you get the idea. You've stated it very nicely. Now, let me go back to some of the more, pedestrian parts of your life, Dolly. When you go for a flight, you're home. How do you do it? Give me a process. I'm going to go for a flight tonight. Since you were 19 when you began to learn how to fly these things, how do you let them know you want to go for a flight? Tell us the process. I'm sure people would love to hear this. How do you get up to the ship? And you mentioned a two-seater. I remember that. That takes you up to the ship. And I guess some of these ships are pretty darn big. But tell us how you decide to go, how often you go, and where you go.
All right. Basically, I don't make the decisions. I am cooperating in the decisions, and I'm given opportunities to go on missions and forays, learning missions, helping missions. It just depends, and I'm signaled by them that it's coming. And do I want to enjoy? And then I'll say yes. I never say no. And I get a time frame that they're coming, and I get ready, physically get ready for it. A two-seater will show up. An energy ribbon will come out because they don't land. They are above. And I grab the energy ribbon, and I'm taken up dimensionally. It puts me into dimensional stasis, and I leave my space and go up to the craft. I sit upon that craft, and I'm transported to a larger craft where we are taken in to the craft itself. We actually
who's
go
we?
In it.
Who is we?
Me, a couple of grays, AIs, will pick me up. Sometimes Solar will indwell a two-seater and meet me that way and then transfer back to the larger ship. But most of the time, he's just waiting for me. Sometimes Mama will come on the two-seater and be waiting for me also.
Who's Mama?
She has a lot to tell me. Mama is my tall gray that I have known my entire life. She helped raise me. She is like a mama to me. And she is...
Okay.
My companion, my mother, my compatriot, she guides me. She is like my total partner in life. And
she's been with you your whole life. You've led a very remarkable existence to have someone with you all that time with such gifts, let's call them. That's extraordinary. She must have a lot of respect for you, obviously.
I have a lot of respect for her.
mm-hmm.
All of them, I honor them. They are, I hero worship them. My father was also a hero to me also. I absolute respect, honor. You have been
very good.
coddled and held in such close, loving esteem by them. And yes, I have a very interesting, very gifted life, you know.
Well,
it's, and I don't waste it.
A lot of it is in the book, Preston's new book, Symmetry. So where do you go when you get to the destination craft that you're going to fly, that they taught you to fly when you were 19, and you've learned? You must
right.
be pretty good at it by now. Where do you go? Where do you do? Who chooses the destination? And how far can you go? This is in our Milky Way galaxy, or do you jump galaxy to galaxy? Now, I remember what you said last Thursday, but I want you to say it again. How far can you go? How far do you go?
I can, well, the farthest I've gone out is probably a little over halfway across the known universe. And I haven't gone much farther than that. It takes a little bit of work to do that. My mission is what I chose to do, and that is I'm basically going to be rescuing people here, and that is coming. And so my missions are basically in preparation for that. We practice. We also go to other planets that are in upheaval as well and make rescues there as well. It's part of the training of it.
Do they look to the people on, excuse me, do the people on the other planets that you drop in that are in strife, do they look upon you as being an ET?
Yes, that happens. Yes, it happens. I've actually been awed before by the reactions of those who look at me like I am off, completely out of their norm.
Got it.
You know,
sure.
That can happen. Yes, and
okay.
I've been trained to deal with that as well. Yeah.
Okay. And, now, back to the idea of your friends. Our friends coming here to take a certain number of us off this planet before it goes to hell again, and then bringing them back after things have calmed down. Some people would think that that's rather biblical, rapturesque, and all of that. But the point is, your people can't take everyone off this planet. It obviously can only be so many. How are they chosen? How many approximately, please don't think I'm trying to get you to give me a number, because that's not possible, but what lump of humanity is going to be chosen to be saved from the travail and the agony and grief of this next impending implosion?
It's the chunk and lump of humanity that chooses to be saved, that chooses to wake up and chooses to make preparation for it. They will decide for themselves that they're going. That's the whole point. That is the key right there. It isn't because you're special or unique or anything like that. It is mm-hmm. because you made the change in your attitude and your thinking, and you learned what it takes to be in communication and communing with them and elevate yourself to be able to see that this is a good choice for you to make. The choice you make is permanent. You will not come back here in your lifetime once you leave here. Once this planet goes bad and things happen, it will be millions of years before it is habitable again. So it will be your descendants.
It's going
back,
that bad.
You.
Oh, all right. It's going real bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, we are in the middle of a worldwide global genocide program. Right now, that's what's going on. That's what the so-called vaccinations are all about. They're bioweapons, and they're deadly. And according to some, one shot, and you're gone. May take a couple years, may take 10 years. We don't know. But the mechanism in these shots is anything but healing or graceful in any way. They are brutal, and I spend a lot of time on this program trying to describe what we're all facing and hopefully give some counsel and guidance that might make things easier. A lot of people have died already, Dolly, and many more are dying right now from having taken these shots. They are not vaccinations. So we're in a situation here that we really haven't faced before. This is global. It's not local. So what do we make of all the people who are dying now? It may be 20 million or more in America already. And you say, well, how could they hide 20 million? It's easy to hide that many dead people. When you own the media, you can do anything. It's magic.
Right.
So what do we tell the people who have taken the shots, who are getting clots, they're developing all manner of neurological diseases and problems, their immune systems are failing, they have AIDS, not HIV AIDS, but AIDS from the shots. This is a cull. This is a mass die-off of people. What does ET think about that? What do your friends tell you? What do you think about that?
I find it tragic. I also find it... I see things in the reality of it. If you're going to pass from this existence and go back into source, in a weird kind of way, you're not dying. You're not really dying. You're not dying at all.
Understood. Only in terms of this
opportunity,
right,
to go be born again somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Your source existence means you can be born anywhere in this universe you want to. This is not the only destination for your existence. So if you're in the throes of that, if that's happening, the only thing that I could tell you to do is to find as much joy in what life you do have and try to find your peace, okay?
Sure.
Do the best you can and then do whatever you can to bring enlightenment and tell the story of it to those who you are in the middle of it with to help the situation. For those that are still fighting against it.
Understood.
This is a massive, we all need to hold hands and help one another, no matter what our condition is, no matter mm-hmm. what our destiny is here, we need to help one another through this. And being hopeful and happy in the face of serious adversity is one of the lessons that we can learn. I'll give you a for instance. I have, because of my genetic attack by the government on my mother, I have juvenile diabetes. I have many conditions that are autoimmune. And I, instead of being feeling sorry for myself or resenting it, I have coexisted with it and mushed through. Okay, I've used my knowledge and my abilities to overcome and compensate for what I have to live here. That's my decision by being here and living under this circumstance. It is not that big a deal. Sure, we enjoy pain from time to time. We enjoy happiness. We enjoy all kinds of different things. The idea is not to let each other be alone with it, to help each other through, to give each other succor, you know, to teach hope and love
right.
to one another about it. And those that have taken the shot, we can't do anything about it. It has happened. But what we can do is give them the opportunity to still be hopeful and to not dwell on the end game, but on the game that's actually coming. It's not the end. You're going to go into a new paradigm no matter what. You get to go into source again. You get to go be who you really are, you know?
Well, and I wish I had...
A lot of people don't realize that.
No, most people don't, and I wish they did. I wish that if I could give a gift, and maybe you feel the same or similar, to all peoples, no matter how they're going to leave this veil of tears, is that it's not the end. They're just rejoining an endless life cycle in the universe.
Correct. Exactly. Now, those who are staying and fighting for an existence to go off into a new world somewhere and live in this physical existence still and exist, mm-hmm. That is an important thing for them to keep trying to do, and we need to encourage them, and we need to give mm-hmm. them also as much help as we can and to give them as much information as we can.
Very nice.
And you're right. Taking the shot is a very bad thing to do. If you haven't had it, don't do it. Leave it alone. If you're smart about this and you want to survive what's about to happen, go off-grid. Learn how to sustain yourself. Live simply, you know.
Right.
Clean up your act. Learn to be strong and survive so that when ET does come to shuttle you out of here, you're ready to go. And everybody's got their own path, and we just need to help each other through it and recognize that each path is just as important as the next. And we need to be brave enough to tell evil that we're going to turn our backs on you now. We're not giving you any more energy. We're not paying you. We're off the slave train. Have a nice day. And walk away from it.
Dolly, is there evil all around the universe? We don't have an option on it here. It's got to be a conscious... That's not the right word. It's got to be a commodity virtually everywhere.
Good and bad
to some degree.
Exists in all things. That you can't have one without the other. There is balance, though. And there is quite a bit of balance in the universe. We're just very unbalanced here. And it will rectify itself. It is happening. And it's going to be a painful event for everybody. Okay? I'm not joking around. This is not a joke. But it is going to happen. And you can either slide in kicking, screaming, and crying, or you can find some sort of joy and make it the purpose that it needs to be for you. And that's
very
what's got to happen.
Okay. Now, when are you going to give Preston a ride here? This young man needs to go on a trip.
I want to give him a ride so bad, you have no idea. I got real close to being able to, and then the shit's hitting the fan already. They have bugged out. I am literally stranded right now. I cannot do anything about it. You don't see ET in the skies anymore. You'll see their drones, okay? They've got some equipment that's automatic that's flying around, but it's not them flying.
So they've packed up and they've blown town.
Yes, they had to. What's coming is that serious, and they can't survive it either. It will destroy them. When we have that big old CME that hits, everything is going down. Everything. And they have to be as far away from it as possible.
When we have that big...
Our entire solar system is affected.
Okay, you're talking about the sun, X-class, and beyond?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Do you see, I must ask this in a geopolitical sense, are we headed toward a substantial war? My God, in addition to all these this genocide from the shots, are we headed toward war? It looks... rather
yes.
like it to me.
They're going to do it, yes. It's already happening.
Yeah. All right. Preston, how did you wrap your mind around this lady and her lovely story and put it in a book? I don't know how you could do it. You could probably do several more easily.
Yeah, easily. And probably, you know, if there's time, perhaps so. It was probably the most difficult book I've ever written, and organizing it was no easy task for sure.
Wow.
But it was also, I mean, really fun, and I mean, I had a blast doing it. And I think what really helped me a lot was having interviewed so many other people and hearing all of this, like I said, bits and pieces from other people made me like, okay, this is someone I've heard all of these bits and pieces before.
Right.
And I mean, it's a lifelong story, so I just did the best I could, organized it both topically and chronologically. And I'm really happy with how it came out. I think it'll give a good, real deep dive into what Dolly has experienced.
You, Preston, I've known you a long time. You have done the most eclectic topics in your books that of any author I've ever seen. I mean, come on, drive-in movies and ETs. That's wild. UFOs. Preston Dennett is the man to consult if you want to read about anything in this field. D-E-N-N-E-T-T. And the book is Symmetry, S-Y-M-M-E-T-R-Y. Dolly, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate it.
This is my honor. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I appreciate it totally.
You betcha. All right. You take care. Hope to talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And Preston, thank you for all your hard work. This was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that comes along, and you earned it. So, bravo.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that.
Okay, my friend. We'll talk. Take care. All right. Preston Dennett and Dolly. And we will be right back with more in just a few minutes.